You know, I like it when God rearranges my plans. I don't know about you. It is a little bit unnerving, though, isn't it? When we have this or that on our agenda and the Lord interrupts or interjects his voice and speaks into our circumstances. I was so thankful to the Lord and for the Holy Spirit. He's always working. And we just have to be observant and cooperative. And maybe this is going to be a testimony or two this morning. But I will gladly set aside my plans like we did last week and allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Because the Holy Spirit is in sync with the plans of the Father. And what I heard this morning that was that what we experienced last week and we've experienced it before, this is what the word I heard was that it was a precursor. It was a precursor, which means one that precedes and indicates the approach of another. So, you know, we all have our comfort zones. We all have our ideas of who God is and the way God moves in our life. But I'm telling you, you got to have open ears and open eyes and allow him to begin to speak to you afresh during this hour. This is the last thing I'm going to share, I think. I heard before I thought I was going to preach last week, that goes along with what I'm hearing him say this morning. I heard two expressions. The first one was clear the deck. Now, usually we think of that in a military context. But what that expression means is to prepare for action. And along with that, all hands on deck. That means every available person is needed or called to assist. You know, God could sovereignly bring in the harvest just by himself, just by speaking the word. And there's a measure of which that is true, and he will do that. But he uses you and I as his hands and his feet and his mouth and his heart. So forth. So just take that to heart, no pun intended, that you would be available to assist. He does the work, but we assist him. I anticipated and I wasn't disappointed. I heard the healing room was awesome again yesterday, that the Holy Spirit moved in power. Certainly, you can share if you desire to, Kim, or someone else. You know, God never relents on what he has planned, whether it's my life, your life, his church. And he's calling a people who will say yes to him. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy or comfortable. But it will be necessary. God will use his church to bring in the harvest. You know, we sing these songs like heaven come down, heaven come to earth. Well, heaven has already come down to earth. His name is Jesus Christ. And he did an awesome work then, and he's still doing an awesome work. And He wants us to cooperate with the work he's doing in this hour. All right? You ready to go? I'm ready to go. Let's see how far we get this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, the letters, if you were to, the Bible I use on Sunday mornings has large print, so I can see it a little more clearly. But if you were to look at my Bible, my daily Bible, the Paul's letters, all the pages are stained with sweat from my fingers. I mean, literally, the New Testament letters, that section of my Bible, it's not filthy to him, but it looks filthy because it's weathered these 40-something years that God has seen fit to walk with me when I accepted the call, when I said yes to him. And this is one of the chapters that I've read over and over and over again, Ephesians chapter 2. Made alive in Christ. Now, you may not have looked like it or even felt like it, but you were dead spiritually until he resurrected you, until he rescued you, until he came and intervened when you were on a path to hell. Made alive in Christ. And you were dead, the Bible says, verse 1, in your trespasses and sins, plural, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly walked in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, there it is, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Thank you, Lord. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you and I have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. And by the way, you're still being saved. That process of submitting to him, of daily dying to him, is an ongoing process. And by his grace, we are being saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. Anything good in my life, in your life, he has worked it. He has got us to cooperate, so to speak. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who were formerly far off, have been brought near by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups, Jew and Gentile, into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Glory to his matchless name. Oh, that's a lot right there. Digest. Hang on. I'm going to leave those paddle fans on for circulation and the windows open. Could be a little cooler in here, but for safety purposes, we're allowing cross ventilation. I suspect that you're a lot like me. Sometimes your memory is less than perfect. I forgot to pick up something at the grocery store. I forgot a birthday, an anniversary, or some special event. You know, even though I've been involved in landscape for almost 40 years, and my knowledge is greater than most, I could not remember the name of a flowering tree that is so beautiful. Try as I might, I just took me a couple of days actually to remember the magnolia tree. It has such beautiful white and pink blossoms. And they only, like a lot of spring trees and flowers, they only last for a very short time. We were only able to cut two bunches of lilac at our home, one of Kathy's favorites, because flower fades, the Bible says, but the word of God stands forever, and his faithfulness to you stands forever. Another meaning of that word, remember, is to make mention of, in the sense of praise, honor, and glory, to recognize someone or something, or especially God, to make mention. Bible says that his name is exalted. Remember. Isaiah 12, verse 5 and 6. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry out and shout for joy, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Don't take that for granted. Don't take for granted that you have the Holy Spirit living within you, but he also shows up when we gather. We should cherish that. We should remember that. we should make mention of that. Remember that his name is exalted. In the New Testament, Mary said it this way, Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 49. He has had regard for my state, for the Mighty One has done great things. There's a lot more there in those few verses, but Mary was declaring or remembering that God Almighty saw fit to intervene, take her aside, and chose her to give birth to the Savior of the world. How do you express that? How do you remember that? You know, I think too often our appreciation gets diminished for what God does and for what we have in our life. We have Him. If we have Him, we have everything we need because He provides everything that we need. He has had regard for your state, and He didn't leave you where you were. He rescued you, and He's taken you on a journey that's not over yet. But He has plans. He has a future for each one of us, Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord remembers when you were created in the womb. When mom and dad were united in your womb, each contributed something for who you would be. But He knew. Even before that, He knew. But He remembers that sacred happening in mom's womb. He remembers the day of your birth. I mean, those of you who are parents, you remember the time that child was birthed, especially the firstborn. When my son looked up at me, there's nothing in the world that was worth more than that to me at that time, except for Jesus and the wife He had given me to share life with. He remembers your daily needs. He remembers your concerns. He remembers your prayers. And most importantly, He remembers His covenant with you. And He is a covenant-keeping God. And He will do anything and everything in His power to make sure that covenant remains in place. But the question for today is, do you remember Him? Do you honor Him? Do you make mention wherever you go that His name is exalted? I'm not talking about wearing a t-shirt with a Christian saying or a scripture. I'm talking about, does it come from our mouth? Do we remember Him in our jobs, in our families, in our life happenings and gatherings? Do we remember Him first? The title of our message, not surprisingly, is Remember this morning. We'll see how far we get together. You know, especially, but not just if you've known the Lord for a number of years, I think it's easy to forget how lost you were. I have not forgotten. I don't ever want to forget. I don't mean I dwell on my past, but I know what he has done in my life, and I know where he's taken me from. And I will remember that I was lost, and now I'm found. That's point one. It says in our text, verse 1, this is applicable to each one that I'm sharing online with or in the room with. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were spiritually dead without the Holy Spirit, without the knowledge of Christ. I mean, you may have heard the name of Jesus, but you didn't know him. You didn't know the awesome God. You hadn't experienced who he is and what he does and how good he is to you. You were dead spiritually, unresponsive to truth and the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Even when you were unredeemed, unregenerate, does that mean the Holy Spirit wasn't there trying to woo you, draw you, call you into God's kingdom? I dare say he was, but we just ignored it. We said, no, I'm living my life my way. I know you're like me. That was your story too. My way. Verse 2, you formerly walked in the ways of the world and under the influence of Satan, the prince of the power of the air. First Corinthians chapter 6, end of verse 9 to 11. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, effeminate, homosexuals, nor thieves, the covetous, drunkards, revelers, swindlers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were you. Oh. Yeah. Such were you. Such was I. I'm not proud of it. I don't dwell on it. I dwell on who I am today. The work of the cross that's gone in my life these years since I was born again. Such were some of you, but then there's a little but. A little word but. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Remember his intervention. Remember how he changed your life on that day. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the place. He made a promise that day that he would never leave you or forsake you, that he would be involved in every struggle, every disappointment, and every victory as well. We all thought, when we all formerly lived in lust and the desires of the flesh and of the mind or the thought life, you thought you were a good person. You didn't think you were a bad person. But you were seen to be a sinner. But now you still are a sinner, but you're saved by grace. That's the key. That's the difference that Christ makes. He comes in and he cleans the house. Because the Holy Spirit can't take residence or abide in a house when it's filthy. When there are things there that do not honor him, that do not exalt his name. You know, I used to think, I'm not talking about overt sin, I'm talking about private sin. Oh, I'm not hurting anybody. Oh, yes, I am. I'm hurting him. Because he knows he has something better for me. Oh, it's just a little sin. It still hurts him. We thought we weren't that bad of a person. In fact, we probably thought we were a good person. You ever had somebody say to you when you witness the gospel, oh, I'm a good person? That's one of the first things that comes out. They think, that's enough. It's not enough. Jesus died for them, and he died for me. Isaiah 64:6, for all of us have become like one unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. I like the King James rendering here, like filthy rags. But Jesus came. He did a business. He offered a deal. He gave you an offer that you should never refuse. He'll come in and do what you are unable to do, if you will only say yes. John 15:16. You did not choose me, Jesus speaking. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. What he's saying really is before you had no access to the Father. You had no right to expect an audience with him. But now, the door's been flung wide open. So, we need to not dwell on the past, but we need to remember the past and where he's brought us from. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that and those who were lost. I'm not afraid today to say I was lost. He found me. My life has never and will never be the same again. And I heard this when I was preparing 2 weeks ago. Jesus found you in the lost and found. I mean, you know what the lost and found is, right? People forget about things. They leave things behind. Or they don't care about care enough to go retrieve them. He cares enough. He looked at you and he said, that one is worth it. I died for that one. I have a plan and I have a future. And a hope for that one. Remember that you have experienced his love, his salvation, and his grace. I don't know which one of those things I appreciate the most, It's a contest. His love, his salvation, and his grace. It says there in our text in Ephesians 2:4, his great love with which he loved us. That love revolutionized my life. When I understood, because I did not experience that kind of love ever, and I can't, and you can't. When I understood that his love was drawing me to himself, that gave me a desire to change. That gave me a desire to please him and to follow him. And believe me, I would not choose to go some of the places he's asked me to follow him. If I, on that day, back in 1978, I would have said something like, can I read the small print, Jesus? In this contract of love that you're presenting to me? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, insert your name there, for God so loved you that he gave. Talking about the Father's plan for his only begotten Son to go to the cross and die for your sin. That whosoever, you are part of the whosoever, would believe, would have, and would always have from that point forward, everlasting or eternal life. This is the gospel, my friends. This is the truth of the Word of God. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, I love a good mystery. I love a good detective show or story. And oftentimes when somebody kidnaps somebody, they demand a ransom before the release of the loved one. Jesus paid the ransom. Think about it. Remember this morning. Jesus paid a very dear ransom for your life. He gave his life. That you might, John 10:10, have life and have it more abundantly. Don't worry about the scriptures that aren't there. That's the Holy Spirit's embellishing and adding as we go here. And this is the point where last week I broke out into song. Some of you might recall. I'll spare you this morning, unless you're ready. Oh, he's not ready yet, but he's going to be ready. I could just see him doing a rap version of the song. But I'll just read some of the words, Jesus Can, by Lawrence Tuning. And by the way, he's written some awesome music. Started back in the 70s, and he's written a number of songs that you would probably recognize that were sung by other artists. Who can help you when nobody else can? Jesus. Who can give you the strength to stand? Who can always lend a helping hand? When nobody else can, Jesus can. Who can lift you when you're down and out? Who can drive away every single doubt? Who can always understand what you are talking about? You ever had that deer in the headlight look when you're talking to someone and they're going, huh? Not with him. He understands you. He knows you. Nobody else can, but Jesus can. He can make something good out of nothing. He can give you a life to live. Jesus. Jesus can. Turned on the faucet. Humbling me, and he has my permission. Amen? Jesus can. But here's the thing. Philippians 4:13, because he can, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do it without him, but I can do it by faith in his name. And because he'll never ask me or you to do something which we are unable to do in his strength. We can do all things. He gives us the grace to push through, persevere, and position ourselves for victory. That's a mouthful. But that's who he is, and that's what he does. That's what grace does. And we're taking point two from, I did neglected to mention that, verses 4-8, but it says in verse 5, we were made alive. We were born again. We were given a fresh start or a new beginning. And verse 7, we've experienced the surpassing riches of his grace. When I think of his grace, I think of that song, he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. That's his grace, that endless well of his grace and his love and his commitment to saving me from myself on a daily basis. The surpassing riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the what? Riches of his grace. And you might have a side note in your Bible that says the flow of his grace from him to you and into your life situations. Verse 8. Ephesians 2:8, by grace you've been saved through faith. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. There's a group called the beloved, and you're in it. Once you come into the kingdom, once you say yes to Jesus, he includes you in that category of the beloved. I think sometimes we need to remember that. Not just sometimes, we always should remember that. I still like the old hymns. I don't go around singing hymns, But oftentimes when I'm preparing a message, I get an old hymn because I cut my spiritual teeth on hymns back in the 70s. So I was remembering this old hymn by Johnson and Towner, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Some of you might remember it. Some of you didn't grow up on hymns like I did. But it's grace, grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. That's His grace. That's His provision for every blood-bought believer who calls upon the name of the Lord. Need to remember to express gratitude for His great gifts, so full and free, His love, His salvation, His grace. Remember to celebrate. This is the way He gave it to me. Remember to celebrate His love. Celebrate His salvation and His grace. He didn't just do great things. He continues to do great things. I'm going to stop there this morning. Still have three more points. This will give you a faith infusion. If you will remember some of these things, if you will call to mind the work that God has really done, not the superficial stuff, yeah, you don't do this anymore, you don't do that anymore, you think differently. Your outlook on life is different. You've experienced things you never would have experienced without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, my friends, remember. Remember. You were lost and now you're found. Remember. You have and you, by His grace, continue to experience His love, His salvation, the truth of His word in action in your life, and His grace on a daily basis. God bless you as you remember these things.